Hi, y'all. Carrie D here. Welcome to the Coffee with Carrie Homeschool Podcast. Join me every Thursday for some much-needed encouragement, coffee, and conversation. It's my prayer that this podcast will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. If you're blessed each week by my podcast, make sure you check out my book, Just Breathe and Take a Sip of Coffee, Homeschool and Step with God. And check out my new book, Homeschool High School, A Handbook for Christian Education. Then share a podcast with some of your homeschooling friends who might need a little encouragement this week. You can also find me at my website, coffeewithcarrie.org, or on Instagram at coffeewithcarrieconsultant. You can also join The Coffee House, our premium membership, where you can find even more encouragement, community, and homeschool help. So stick around, pour yourself a cup of coffee, put your feet up, and take a little coffee break with me. Let's get started. Hey y'all, I have a great guest with me today, Leah Nguyen. She is a kingdom-minded wife, homeschool mom of three children. She's graduated a few of them, and a homeschool coach. Through her podcast, Little by Little Homeschool, and her online course and membership, Leah helps homeschool moms create and embrace a homeschool lifestyle that reflects their unique family. Y'all, stick around for some homeschool mom straight talk. All right. Good morning, Leah. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, I'm excited to have this conversation today. It's going to be a good one. Thank you for having me.
I know. It's a topic. I loved it because you came up with the idea because it's so true. There are just some things that homeschooling moms either don't feel comfortable talking about or asking the question. And so I'm excited. We're going to kind of get into those today. But before we do, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and your homeschooling?
Sure. So my name is Leah Nguyen, and I am married to my husband, James, for 23 years now. We have three kiddos. My oldest is 21, and my next one, so I have 21, 19, and 16. So girl, boy, boy. And the two oldest have graduated, are done with homeschool. My daughter works full-time at a ministry, and my 19-year-old is done with school, but he lives at home and he's running his own business. He started becoming an entrepreneur in high school. And so I am homeschooling my last kiddo who is 16, and I'm having a blast with that. It's just so very different. So we've been homeschooling. I think we're in our 13th year. I mean, when all is said and done, I'll be the one who has homeschooled the longest, you know, through all of them, right? Mm-hmm. And we were not planning to homeschool. Put my two older in public school, and just felt like God was calling us to do something different after a couple of years. And so we switched to homeschool, and here we are, not looking back.
And isn't homeschooling the last one just so different? You know, when it's just them, mm-hmm. I used to kid with my son, but I used to say, you know, Francesca had me her undivided attention for the first 5 years of her life or first 4 years. And now lucky you, you get my undivided attention all through high school.
I get that too. And then my husband and my other son will kind of laugh like, oh, you get mom all to yourself. And for a 16-year-old boy, they're like, great. So I'm like, so what are you going to do now?
Yep, it is very different, but it's really fun.
It's fun. It's, right. It's sweet.
It is. So now that I'm a retired homeschooling mom, and you're almost there, girl, I wish more of the veteran homeschool moms and like podcasts that you and I have would have just spent a little bit more time with some straight talk about, well, at least for me, the transition from being a full-time homeschooling mom to a retired homeschooling mom, because no one ever talks about that. And I really think it would have made this empty nester transition thing a whole lot easier. But I feel like this is one topic that a lot of homeschooling moms will talk about. But there are quite a few other topics that homeschooling moms never really feel comfortable asking or getting into, or that they want to discuss, or they realize they need to discuss. So being transparent and vulnerable, I think, is really the key. And so today I want to get real and I want to do some straight talk with you. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Okay. So what do you think? And I'm sure there's a whole lot more, but what do you think are three or four hard topics that homeschooling moms never talk about, but they should?
This is such a good question, and I'm here for it. I like being the person that will say the thing that everyone's thinking, right? To like just break the ice and everyone's like, oh yeah. So, all right. So here's my topics that I would say would be the topic of comparison, the topic of burnout, the topic of homeschooling on a small budget, and the topic of just being open and vulnerable about the hard seasons of homeschooling and of raising children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And oh, yes, on the last one. So let's tackle the first one. So a comparison, that is such a big one. And especially nowadays with social media and Instagram, and we didn't have that when we first started homeschooling. But what are some ways that homeschooling moms fall into this comparison trap? And what are some practical ways that we can avoid it?
When it comes to comparison, I like to say this, we're just going to shoot it straight here. Mm-hmm. When we're comparing, it's focusing more on other people than on our families. And I see it lead to one of two main things. It can lead to guilt or it can lead to pride. So it leads to guilt when you feel like you aren't doing enough and everybody else is better than you. And it can lead to pride when you think, I'm doing better than everybody else, or I'm at least doing better than that family. And so then that comparison that helps us that makes us focus on others, guilt or shame. And then it makes us feel either less than, or we can feel better than other people and feel superior to them. So the first step, we need to recognize that this is something that we are struggling with. It's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. And it's something that will be exposed. And maybe it depends upon your personality. Some moms might not be as inclined to this being as much of an issue. It just goes with anything, any type of sin issue, that it could be something that we really struggle with and our friend doesn't really struggle with. And so for some moms, this is going to be a bigger struggle and a bigger thing to have to work through. But first is recognizing that it's going to happen. And so I like to say that if it is a comparison of you thinking somebody else is better than you. So you roll up to co-op and this mom gets out and she's dressed like cute and hip and everything. And her kids have like cute clothing and they've got all their homework done. They've got their lunches made and they have it all together. And we can think, wow, she's super mom. She's got everything together. Her kids are being taught better. There's probably better education. Just everything is better for them. And then we could also see the mom on the other side of us, in the other parking space. And like the kids are like rolling out. Half of them don't have shoes. And she's like, oh, I got to run to McDonald's and get them lunch. Or, you know, and this just can become some extremes and stuff. But we could then think, oh, well, at least I've got myself together. My kids have, you know, their shoes on or something like that. And we don't know the intricacies of anybody's life. The mom who has everything put together might be really struggling in her marriage. There might be things that you don't know about. And the mom who appears to kind of just be like, everybody's just rolling out and stuff, she's got so much going on. And we think that maybe we're better than. I encourage you to get to know those other moms. Mm. Get to know them as people instead of just this theoretical idea of a mom on either side of you. And when we get to know people, then I think that is the key I have found, at least for myself, to not compare myself to somebody else in my real life. Now, you're mentioning social media. That can be a whole other thing. We definitely do not know what's going on behind the camera. Someone could have this amazing aesthetic account, and it could be homeschool, it could be motherhood, it could be whatever it is. And we just think they have it all together and they might not. And it's just a front, or it's a business and that's how they help support their family. And we can't really get to know them, but I encourage you and the moms that are in your real life to get to know them. And you might find out, oh, she's just a normal mom. You know, maybe fashion is her thing and that's okay, but she can't cook a good dinner to save her life, you know, kind of thing, right? Uh-huh. Well, then invite them over, have them over for dinner. I'll give her, you know, give her a help out with that. But comparison can be of a multitude of different things. So that first one was mentioning comparing ourselves as moms. We can also compare our kids. Mm-hmm. If we have a child that's struggling in a certain subject, maybe they are having a hard time catching on to reading. It just hasn't quite clicked yet. And other kids, another family, all their kids read by the age of 4 and they're reading, you know, prolifically by 4 or something. I don't know if that's possible, but maybe it is. And so we can think, oh, my kids aren't smart enough. And then it can come back to us and we can say, oh, well, I'm not a good enough teacher. I'm not equipped to do this, but we can compare our kids and their performance and the curriculum that we're using. And again, end up feeling better than them or less than them because of that. And I just want to encourage moms to make your decisions for your homeschool based upon your family's goals. Every family is going to have different goals and they're going to have a different family culture. But when we make decisions based on our goals, we can more easily let go of that comparison and say, well, that's important to them, but it's not important to me. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So, so beautiful and so true. And I loved your advice about, you know, get to know the moms so that you kind of know what their backstory is. But I also feel like, and this was really hard for me, but I started making an effort once my kids got to like that middle school age, that green-eyed monster came out of me all the time. You know, I would go to their house and I'd see how clean it was or the curriculum they had up on the shelf. And I'd be like, oh, I can't even afford that, much less. I don't even think my kids would be able to use that curriculum or whatever. But I started making an effort of not only getting to know the moms that I thought maybe were struggling, but the ones that I felt like had it all together. I made a point of saying, you know, I really, really struggle in this area. Can you help me? And I remember having some of those moms be like, yes, I would love to, because usually the one thing that we're like, so we're comparing ourselves, it's something we're lacking. And it appears that they're not lacking it. And so they have this gift. So why not ask them to come alongside you and to either help you with that or to mentor you in that area? And I had a couple of moms come to me because I am organized to a fault, very organized person. But I had a couple of friends throughout the year, you know, come to me and say, can you please just help me? I got to get this area of my life together. And you seem to be very good at that. I was like, sure, I'm awful at this. So you help me with that. But I also think that when you get together with other moms, you know, who might be using some sort of philosophy or curriculum, or they have a passion or a gift in something, that instead of comparing the kids, you know, that, well, he's doing this and my kid's not doing that, is get together and learn together. You know, I feel like that's like such a beauty of homeschooling as well, that some of the best memories we had were the two or three friends that would come over once a week or once a month. And we would, you know, do Dave Ramsey's personal finance together, or we would do history together, or we would do Shakespeare together, whatever it was. And then you don't find yourself comparing anymore because, you know, the one mom who just had tons of kids, just for her to show up was good, right? So she was the one that hung out with all the babies while we were, you know, doing whatever it was we were doing with the kids. And then one of us would teach because that's maybe the area that we were good at. And then the other one would be in charge of the snacks because, you know, organized wasn't her thing, but man, she could cook. So she showed up at the snacks, you know? And so just kind of dipping into the different moms and their different gifts and talents, I think that also helps alleviate some of that comparison. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that you saw that was an area that you were lacking. So reached out. I think it's just that first initial, mm-hmm. somebody's got to break the ice and reach out. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yep.
And I think, you know, you brought up that comparison. Yes, it leads to either pride or it can lead to total self-doubt. But I think it also leads to the next topic you brought up, which is burnout. That we all experience burnout. And moms out there, if you haven't experienced yet, I'm just telling you, you will. We're straight talk here today. But many of us don't even realize we're in it when we're in it. We just know that I'm tired, I'm weary, I don't know what this problem is here. So what does burnout look like for a homeschooling mom? And what are some ways that we could keep it from happening?
Yes, big loaded question. So some of the things, yeah. So the burnout can look small and it can look big. And I am very guilty of this big when I would just become angry. And it comes out in anger. And I'm not a perfect mom at all here. A lot of times I had to apologize to my kids. And I would love if we could get to the point with homeschooling and motherhood that we can start to recognize that burnout so that we don't get to that point, mm-hmm. so that we don't have to, that we don't do the things that we have to apologize for. And sometimes it takes having those moments for us to recognize. But some of the signs can just be small. And the more that you homeschool, the more that you'll recognize these signs earlier. And that's the key. So the extreme would be just the mom's having a meltdown. Mom's blowing up. She's having a mental breakdown because it's a lot. We just have a lot on our shoulders. And so the burnout comes from the fact that oftentimes we just have too much and we've added too much. So it can look like something little, like you just are no longer excited about homeschool. And now I know every single day isn't, you know, yay, you know, and pom-poms and confetti and all that kind of stuff. But we start to then come up with excuses on maybe avoiding homeschool, coming up with other things to do. Not that those things aren't good, but maybe we're just, well, we'll do that tomorrow. But coming up with just reasons to put things off, not taking the time to actually just even do it. We're trying to avoid something that is not comfortable and not fun. And eventually I feel like it can be just a snowball. Think of just a snowball rolling down a hill. It just picks up and it just continues to go down and become bigger and bigger, where mom's maybe having a meltdown. And sometimes at that point you say, I can't do this. I can't homeschool. And that can be the extreme of where the burnout can come from. So some of the ways of keeping it from happening is really watching our level of commitment, whether that's commitment of stuff inside the home, outside the home. I know there's going to be some seasons, and I'm thankful that there were some seasons I recognized it was better for us just to be home more often. It was better not to do a co-op. It was better not to participate in a lot of different extracurricular activities because it was just a good season just to be home. And that's okay. But that can feel, I'm sure you remember the seasons, maybe you were just home. You're like, this is going to last forever. It doesn't last forever. You'll get to the next season and you're like, oh, I wish I could go back to that season where we were just home a bit more. But just looking at what are our commitments? What can we really realistically do? Are you having another baby and you are committing to all kinds of sports and all kinds of activities? Doesn't mean you can't get to those, but is it going to be too much? Right. And is it going to lead to that burnout? So really this focusing on not overcommitting and giving ourselves some margin in the day, instead of saying we have to be here at this time and this here, like exactly an hour later. Well, how it's going to take 15 minutes to drive there. It's not physically possible sometimes. And so just giving ourselves margin, whether that's in the day or that's giving us ourselves entire days that have margin and we're just home more. And so also I think that the burnout comes from just a lack of keeping ourselves in mind when we're making decisions and we're like, well, this kid wants to do this. And we have this studies and this academics and this curriculum and these church activities and forgetting about ourselves and our own personalities and maybe our own inclinations to whether too much causes us anxiety, too much worry, too much, whatever that will cause. So really taking into consideration ourselves. Sometimes there's times in life where there's just crises and there's trials that are going on. There's just a lot of big things. And we then continue to do homeschool, or maybe at that time, it might be better just to say, let's put the homeschool stuff on hold. Let's literally put the books on the shelf and let's just walk through this season right now, whatever is going on. And so to get to the other side of that, we have to recognize it and then take some time off, reevaluate our schedule, our curriculum. And I also really encourage you to find your people that can kind of come alongside you. And maybe you're finding yourself burned out and maybe you can do an exchange of a play date, you know, 1 week at your house, 1 week at your friend's house, and you watch each other's kids, or just having somebody to bounce some ideas and just the raw of life off of is, I think, really important to know that we're not alone.
Yeah. Again, such awesome advice. And I was laughing on the inside, even though I shouldn't have been. But, you know, when you said that, one of the major keys or clues that you're going through burnout is the anger. And, you know, I guess it's been known that I have an Italian anger. I don't know. But it's so sad that when a couple of months ago, someone was asking my kids, I forgot where we were, but we were all together, and somebody asked them, which parent is the one that you don't want to disappoint or get mad? And both of my kids, without taking a breath, went, Mom. And I was like, really? They're like, oh, yeah, you don't want to get my mom upset. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I really still need to be working on that. But I also the idea about, and you brought it up, just this whole idea of taking a rest, You know, so we did do like Sabbath schooling. So we just made sure, like you said, making sure you understand your personality. And I'm much of an introvert and my daughter is an introvert. And so I just knew that in order to get through the day, every day, I needed to have some time where, you know, there was, even when they were younger, even if it was just 10 minutes, that we could rest. Right. And then, of course, during the week, you want to make sure we always had a day that we could just kind of rest. That was usually on Sunday. But we also applied it to our schedule or to our calendar. So we would work diligently and hard for 6 weeks. And then we would take that 7th week off, give or take, completely off. And it was our time, mostly me, to rest my mind, my body, my soul. It gave the kids times to kind of marinate the things that we were learning. And then, like you said, sometimes there's just seasons, like when, you know, a loved one is going through cancer or passes away, and you got to give your family time to grieve, to think about homeschooling on top of all of that. That's hard. Or bringing a new baby into the family. I mean, come on, mama needs some time. The baby needs some time. So yes, I do think making sure we give ourselves the grace to take a rest, because the Lord knew what he was talking about when he said, work hard, but make sure you also rest, because he knew our tendency would be to work and not do that. So yeah, I totally agree. Burnout can rear its ugly head, and a lot has to do with we're not resting like we should. So, all right. The other one you brought up, I think you mentioned money. It always comes down to money. So whether you're a one income family or a single mom or a working mom, homeschooling on a budget is a hard topic to talk about with other moms. So what advice do you have for moms who are homeschooling on a tight budget, or even just a budget?
Yeah, I think that we should all be homeschooling on a budget, whether that budget is large or smaller. And I mean, what one person says is large could be, right, you know, not, and it's all relative, but mm-hmm. having a budget. So I think that's the number one thing, having a budget, having a conversation with your husband, mm-hmm. because money and marriage can sometimes cause some contentions. I mean, I'm just speaking theoretically. I have no idea for real.
No idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
No, just making that up. But yeah, have a conversation with him so that you know, and you can stay within that, and that you, I think my husband especially likes that. I mean, it just shows me that I respect our conversation that we have and respect our budget. So having that conversation, knowing what your budget is, whether that budget is $50, $500, $5,000, it doesn't matter. Just know what exactly that budget is. And does that budget run from a school year, or is it a calendar year? Is it kind of like a January through December, or is it like an August, September through, you know, through the next July or whatever? Then if you have a small budget, no matter what it is, I always recommend focusing on math and language arts. If you can only buy one or two things, focus on math and language arts, and maybe just start with the older children. If you have a bunch of children, your preschooler does not need a math and language arts curriculum, but maybe you have a 4th grader, get them the math and the language arts curriculum, and doesn't have to be anything super expensive. There are so many different price points out there. The library is a great resource then to pick up on those other subjects that maybe you focus on the math and language arts and you have this, you're like, okay, we are good and set with everybody. Head to the library and get out books. You can totally fill in your science, your geography, your history, your art, your music, and who knows, whatever else that your family wants to do. You can borrow and you can trade with friends. I've had friends, especially in the high school years, as things become mm-hmm. more expensive and there's maybe more stuff if you're doing science and you're doing labs. And I've had friends that we've had kids that are staggered. And so like, okay, well, like math, okay, you have this one for this year. And okay, can I have the geometry? I'll give you the algebra too. And we'll just kind of back and forth. And she's purchased some, I'm purchased some, and we just give them back and forth. And that's been a really, and now that I'm on my last kid and she has, I was thinking about one specific friend now, and she has younger ones. I'm like, go ahead and just keep it. Like I'm, you know, I don't want it. I'm done. I'm, you know, once he's done, it's done. So then use stuff as well. Find some, there's Facebook groups, local Facebook groups where things can be used. Maybe have friends that'll just sell you some stuff for cheaper. Homeschool conventions, oftentimes like the bigger ones, will have possibly some curriculum sales. There might be some in-person curriculum sales. There is also just a ton that is free online. Now that I mean, when you and I started homeschooling, there wasn't really all the online stuff that there is now, but there is a lot online. And maybe you're a family that you don't want to do a lot online. Well, maybe you kind of compromise and you're like, well, we'll do science by watching some lessons or videos and stuff, but we'll do history more hands-on and we'll just read books or something like that. You can also just get free resources in person. I have not met one person in my community. We've lived in multiple different communities, probably like three different communities since homeschooling, that had said no when I said, hey, would you be willing to talk to some homeschool kids about this? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a veterinarian. Maybe it is an auto mechanic. Maybe it is, I don't know, somebody changing the light bulbs at your local grocery store. I don't know. And the kids are asking questions. Nobody has ever said no to me to teaching my kids about something about what they do. So that's a great resource, especially as kids get older and you're still homeschooling on a budget. Especially, you know, middle school, high school, you can ask people, can they come and shadow you for a day? Can they come and check out what you're doing? Can you answer their questions? So two more things I suggest is don't belittle yourself or think less because your budget is smaller. Don't think you're not providing enough to your kids. Don't think that you're not educating them enough because your budget is smaller than what you perceive or assume is your friend's budget. And then also the very last thing is just to be generous with what you have. You know, God's asked us to be generous. And so I think that that generosity helps us to feel good and to feel less. And so some of the generous ways of doing this, I remember we homeschooled on a very, very tight budget for many, or if not most of our, I mean, I'm still on a budget now, but not as tight. And I'm only homeschooling one child, but it was all three of them on a tight budget. And I had an amazing backyard when we first started homeschooling at that house. And it was all fenced in. I was like, well, this is what I have. This is what I can be generous with. We had play dates there all the time. And it would be nice weather. I'd be like, we're just playing outside. We have tons of toys, things outside to do. Bring a picnic lunch and bring a blanket. You can go in and use the bathroom, but otherwise we're just outside. So being generous with what we do have and what we can do, and meeting up at parks and nature places and everything is something that we can do too, because we can be the generous person of setting those types of things up. Whereas you're saying that you're very organized. I can be too, but like, I'm also like, hey, let's set this up kind of thing. And I saw that as my gift, and that was my way of being able to be generous to others.
Awesome advice, because like you said, money, and I think that's why Jesus talked about it so much in the Bible. If there's one topic that's going to make people uncomfortable or cause conflict, you know, it's going to be money. You know, we didn't use an awful lot of formal curriculum for two reasons. One, we just couldn't afford a lot of the all-in-one, you know, curriculum boxes. But it just didn't feed my kids' learning styles. You know, I love curriculum and checklists, but they did not. So I think it's just real important, like you said, for moms to change their mindset that we're not homeschooling, we're home educating. And if that's the case, you don't really need to spend a lot of money if you don't have it or you don't want to spend it on school, you know, traditional school-like stuff, that you truly can give your kids a fabulous education with just your backyard and a library card and maybe the internet, right? So yeah, fabulous. So, okay, for time, I want to make sure we get to the last one, because I think this is one that a lot of moms go through, but they really feel uncomfortable talking. And for me, I think the hardest topic for homeschooling moms to share is our feelings of discontent and sadness. And so homeschooling can be challenging. We're not going to sugarcoat it, right? It can be very challenging, or it is challenging at times. But many moms feel like a failure if they confess to a friend that they're in the middle of a hard season or they're not enjoying homeschooling, right? Like, their friends seem to be having fun. They keep saying that they're loving this and they're not. And so why is it important for moms to share even their negative experiences or their doubts about their decision to home educate?
This is a good question. And I think that it depends on people's ability to be vulnerable with one another. And maybe if this is a hard topic to discuss, maybe it's God working on you just wanting to be, you know, being able to be vulnerable with other people. I'm not saying to go out and to share, you know, your dirty laundry with everybody, but finding those friends. And when we find those friends, it could just be one friend even that we can share, we allow that person to come in and share our burden. so we don't have to share it on our own, because we can share it with our husband, but they always understand. They don't quite understand. They don't have that maternal instinct. They don't have that, you know, they're like, well, just set them outside more. Or just let them play in their room alone. You know, I'm like, but they want to do this and I want them to be here. And he's like, oh, I don't understand, you know, so they don't have that. So finding a mom friend who also has that and being able to confide in her is really important, because it allows her to come alongside. And no one really quite understands a homeschool mom, like another homeschool mom. We can understand others in motherhood, but there's another layer, another dimension to it when we are a homeschool mom that just takes things up to a whole nother level. Because in our culture, most people just send their kids to the traditional school. So that's just, moms might not be able to fully kind of relate. And that's okay. So just know that homeschool moms are going to be the ones that will be able to relate better. And we have to realize we're not the only one that's feeling like this. Maybe that mom right now, that friend that you're thinking about, isn't struggling with anything right now, but maybe she did a year or two ago or a couple years ago. Maybe you just met her in the past year and you didn't know that 4 or 5 years ago she really struggled with this, and she'll be able to speak into you. Or maybe you sharing this, she's high as a kite on homeschool. She's in her first couple years, everything is wonderful and it's going perfectly. And she might remember this years down the road that you opened up and were vulnerable and said, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know that I can keep doing this. I'm doubting my decision to homeschool, to be able to continue to do this. I don't want to do it. And she might feel like that in a couple of years and say, hey, I remember when so-and-so came and talked to me about this. It's not just me that's thinking this. And so friends can remind us then also of our why we're doing this and what we're doing and how we're doing it. They can help encourage us and strengthen us. Education and mothering, like I said, is just, it's all encompassing. And so I encourage you to make it your job. I think the times that I continue to fall into negativity and just an overall sadness and just like, I can't believe this is my life that I have to keep doing this, was because I was wishing for something else, wishing for my life to be something different. But when I was like, okay, no, this is my quote unquote job. I'm going to do this like I would do a job outside of the home. I'm not paid in money, but I'm paid in this time with my kids, and knowing that eventually it will pay off. Sometimes in those years when we're feeling down, it's hard to see the silver lining. I think that in these times when we are feeling down and we're feeling that we aren't enjoying homeschool and we're questioning our decision, the most important thing is how we react in that whole situation. And what do we do? Do we let it just spiral out of control and we just completely drop the ball on our motherhood and our homeschooling? Or do we go to God in prayer and say, and go to friends, go to our husbands, say, I need some help. And then going and saying, what can I do? Maybe taking a look, maybe you're burned out, taking a look and saying, let's just take a break. And then let's reorganize this homeschool to fit our life and all that we have going on and our personalities in our family for right now.
Yeah, so true. And I also think, like, for moms like you and me, you had mentioned earlier how we can be generous and to give back. And so I think it really is important that once we remove the homeschooling mom hat, or we're almost there and we're retired, that, you know, we may not be in the homeschooling community 24/7 any longer, but we definitely know lots of homeschooling moms to be available to those new moms and to the moms who are in the thick of it, or for the moms who are about to start homeschooling the high school years and everyone's scared to death, which they shouldn't be. But I think it's important for moms like you and me, you know, we've been there, done that. We've probably experienced really highs and a lot of lows, that we're there for those moms to let them know, look, honey, you're normal. This is normal. We all go through this. And, you know, Jesus said we were going to have trials and tribulations, and that means in our homeschooling too. And so I do think it's very important that us seasoned moms, not the old moms, remain, you know, in the community in some way to at least support the moms who are still in the thick of it. So this has been so much fun. I loved talking with you. I love your podcast. And I mentioned earlier, I love your website. You offer so many cool courses at Little by Little Homeschool. So can you tell us a little bit about your podcast, your coaching services, the workshops that you offer, and how moms can get in touch with you or sign up for them?
Sure, absolutely. So my podcast is Little by Little Homeschool, and I assume you're listening to this on a podcast app. So go ahead and you can check that out. It's on pretty much any, but really everything, the hub of everything is, like you mentioned, my website, littlebylittlehomeschool.com. And I do offer mentorship. I don't know if that's in the menu right now or not, but you can just reach out and let me know. I can do some one-on-one mentorship. But I do offer a couple of courses. One is an all-encompassing big course that just, I mean, think of something with homeschool. It's in it. And that's called Clarify Your Homeschool. And I do have two shorter, minier courses. One is called The Tidy Home, learning how to manage everything within our home, all the chores and all that. And then the other one is called Your Homeschool Blueprint, just a short snapshot as to just getting things started and having the right focus. And once you have the right focus, then you can go ahead and make those other decisions of the curriculum, which is the one thing we always go to first. Let's do some other things first before that. So yeah, all of it's at littlebylittlehomeschool.com.
Thank you. Moms, go to it. I'm going to put it in the show notes for you so you can easily find her. So before we leave, just, I love to ask this question at the end. Just what are some words of encouragement that you can give moms who are suffering from one of these things that we talked about today?
I would encourage you, like I mentioned in the very beginning, I like to be the one to kind of break the silence, to say the thing that everybody's thinking. What if that was you? What if in your homeschool co-op mom group or something, or maybe you're doing a book study or just hanging out with some homeschool moms, what if you were the one to just open up and share? Imagine what that would do. It might feel awkward and hard, and it might not be appreciated by all at the time, but I can guarantee you that at least it'll connect with one mom. And so be the one that'll say things. I'm not saying to bare your soul everything. Just maybe throw out a question and say, how are you all doing? Like, for real. Or just say, I'm really struggling with this. And just share and then watch how that will deepen your relationships with those friends. Because us as homeschool moms, we are so busy. I don't like to say busy, but our lives are full. And we have a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces, even when we try not to have a lot of moving pieces. And it's just as a way that we can really deepen those friendships and those relationships much faster with our kids all kind of running around. And then we got to get to this, we got to get to that and that kind of stuff. And so you never know, you never quite know how what you'll say, how it will impact and encourage another homeschool mom. So say the thing that's going to encourage them.
Amen. So thank you, Lee. This has been so much fun. I can't wait to do it again. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blessing for me too.
Thank you for hanging out with me and for joining me for this little coffee break. It's our prayer that our website, our homeschooling consulting services, podcasts, and books will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. We're praying for you. Stay healthy. God bless. And see you next time. Hey, y'all. Have you joined the Coffee House yet? What's the Coffee House, you ask? Well, it's a new and unique online community for homeschooling moms who are looking for encouragement, support, and homeschooling help. Now, members of the Coffee House have access to monthly Q&A sessions with me and other homeschooling moms, where we focus on a particular theme each month, and then we bring any and all of our trouble spots to the table for tips and advice. We have discussion boards with like-minded home educators for moms of preschoolers, high schoolers, moms with large families, only kids, students with learning differences. We also have live, online, and recorded workshops to help you homeschool simply and enjoyably. We also have monthly grab-and-go print-ready resources to help you homeschool, and monthly curriculum chats where we target a different academic or extracurricular area or style of homeschooling each month. Moms leave with curriculum and resource recommendations to try. We also have Bible study resources and how to study your Bible video tutorials, and coming soon, bi-monthly Bible studies. Coffee House members also get discounts and promotions to upcoming Coffee with Carrie events and products. I hope you can join me. I promise that your heart and coffee cup will always be full with help, hope, and inspiration when you join the Coffee House. For more information or to join, go to my website, coffeewithcarrie.org. See you in the Coffee House.